You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So much to do, so much to talk about, not that much time. Only on for another hour and a half, but we'll try to get it done. Yankees tonight. Some news from Aaron Boone. Yesterday, Gerrit Cole threw for the first time, not from a mound, but just threw. No complications. Everything went well. That's a positive. Yankees beat up on a bad Marlins team. Marlins are 1-10. Yankees are 9-2. Carlos Rodon has pitched well in two games so far this year. He'll go against A.J. Puck, who has not pitched well. Marlins are not a good team. It's not inconceivable the Yankees could take this three-game set. Then they have Thursday off, and they go to Cleveland to play three against the Guardians, and then Toronto to play three against the Blue Jays. The Mets, fresh off, I'd say it's the best win of the year. Wouldn't you agree, Don? They're down 4-0 to their arch nemesis. Everything has gone wrong down in Atlanta for them over the years, including losing those final three games of the regular season when Buck was the manager, and then getting beaten by the Padres. And they go down 4-0. You could easily say, okay, we're going to lose this game. They didn't. Big night for Nimmo. Big catch in the outfield.
Yeah, Taylor,
big hit
big
by
catch.
Stewart.
Yep.
And they win. That's a big win for them.
Well, Anthony looked it up. The ESPN win probability for the Braves going into the fourth up 4-0 was 94.1. And I'm sure it would be even higher if you found out that Alonso and Lindor and Marte would not contribute to any of the offense, that Nimmo would go 4-for-4 with, you know, 5 RBIs, and they'd get big hits from other guys, and then the big catch in the ninth inning. Like, they really played well. Now, they're depleting their bullpen, unfortunately. There's just guys just not available. Like, Diaz wasn't available to them last night. You know, Ottavito wasn't available to them last night. This is killer for them because they're not getting any length out of their starting pitchers. We'll see what Hauser does tonight, but hey, Michael, you started out 0-5, and now you're 4-6. You took a series from Cincinnati on the road. Now you're taking game one of a four-game set against the Braves. That place has been a house of horrors for them. You got nothing out of your starting pitcher, nothing out of your big stud offensive players, and you found a way to win a game. And hold on, right? You were down 4-0, tied it. Down 5-4, took a 6-5 lead, 8-5 lead. Had to hold on for dear life in 1-8-7, but there was a... Howie tweeted out, Howie's not on this trip, and you can tell it's killing him because he tweets like every second while these games are going on. I don't know if you remember back, I think it was 1990, the Mets beat the Phillies at the Vet on a game which they almost like blew like a 6-run lead in the ninth inning.
Right.
And Bob Murphy on the final out says, the Mets win the damn thing. And that's what Howie tweeted out last night, because I had that kind of feeling like they're not winning this game. So that's always been kind of a phrase whenever they almost blow a game. And I'm watching that, and I just couldn't believe they won the game. I know it's only April, but it just felt really good to get that game because I didn't think there was any chance they were going to be able to hold on to that lead the way the bullpen's been pitching.
All right, so the Mets are 4-6 after an 0-5 start. Met fans have to feel a little bit better. I know they were really down, and their play-by-play announcer was down, calling it rock bottom. So the bottom line is they are now 4-6. And one thing about the Yankees, they're 9-2. Do you guys realize? I didn't realize till I just read it. It's tied for the best start in Yankee history after 11 games. 7 other Yankee teams have done it. No team has ever been 10-1. So 9-2 is tied for the best start in Yankee history.
Wow.
It's a pretty good start.
You kidding me?
And I think all the other starts that ended up in the World Series or a championship.
Well, let's see. 1922, 1933, 1949, 1953, 1988, they didn't win a World Series. Then 2003, they didn't win. 2020, they didn't win. And last night, so that makes it
2000 World Series, 2003 World Series, So 88, not
no,
so much.
No, I didn't say 2000.
I thought you said 2000. I'm sorry.
2003.
Yeah, they went to the World Series. And right, what was the one before?
The one before was 1988.
Okay.
Now, you might say, because you're a curious type, Don, have they ever been 10-2? Yes.
Mm.
Just three times, 1922, 1949, 2003. So a good start for them, and it wasn't an easy schedule. Now, you can't say the Marlins are tough, but you can say that the Astros and the Diamondbacks are, so certainly not Fugazi win, so good for them, and good for the Mets going to 4-6. We'll see what they do tonight. And as I mentioned, Carlos Rodon looking for his first win of the season, but he does have a 2.79 ERA. Now, the Rangers and the Islanders tonight. Ramifications for both. Rangers want to clinch things, and the Islanders need to keep winning to hold on to a playoff spot, Don, and that's a game at UBS Arena tonight.
Yes, and it's so weird. It's the first time the Rangers are there. It's the Rangers' last road game of the regular season, and it's their first game at UBS because the other game that was the road game was the one at MetLife. So this place is going to be crazy. Islanders need every game they can get. Rangers want to win. Forget the President's Trophy. They'd like to win that, but that doesn't mean anything for the first round. Winning the conference is the most important thing. And I think if they win the conference, they'll win the President's Trophy. The interesting kind of rub is the team that is chasing you in the Metropolitan Division, Carolina, is playing Boston. You're going to be actually rooting for the Metropolitan team because you'd rather widen your lead in the conference than in your division. So Boston's home for Carolina, and the Rangers hope that, you know, Carolina wins that game. Rangers win their game, take care of business, get that one seed, and have to take on these myriad of what feels like average teams to grab that eight seed. And the Islanders, if they get that three seed, they would take on Carolina in the first round of the playoffs, and that's who knocked them out last year. So still four games left. These two teams will play on Saturday afternoon on national television on ABC. So four games for both, and five games for the Islanders, four for the Rangers, and it's a big game tonight. It'll be even a bigger game on Saturday.
All right, so we have the Knicks tonight
against
the Bulls, and you could hear that right here on 98.7. And there's so many things that they could do here. They could finish second. They're one game behind the slumping Bucks. So, they're actually tied with the Magic, and the Magic had the tiebreaker with the Knicks. But they're both just one game behind the Bucks. Bucks have played awful. They're only a half game ahead of the Cavs. Right now, the Knicks are in fourth. They're a half game ahead of the Cavs, and they're a game and a half ahead of the Pacers. But then the 76ers are in the seventh spot, two and a half behind the Knicks. The Heat are in the eighth spot, and they're three games behind the Knicks. The Bulls are in the ninth spot. They're far behind, and the Hawks are in the 10th spot right now. In terms of, like, tiebreakers, the Knicks own the tiebreakers over the Cavs, the Sixers, and the Heat. They lose tiebreakers against the Bucks, the Magic, and the Pacers. So it's going to go right down to it. The Knicks play the Bulls tonight. Then they play the Celtics in Boston on Thursday. Now, you're hoping that the Celtics really have nothing to play for. So maybe Mazzulla would just bag it and, you know, not even try to win and give the Knicks a much-needed victory. Then they play the Nets, who are eliminated on Friday, and then they finish up with the Bulls on Sunday. So much could happen to the
Bulls.
Knicks. They could finish second or they could finish eighth. That's all still in play.
And it's really, they have a really good setup, though, Michael, to make a play for second. I mean, they really, really do.
Well, they got to beat the Bulls in two games, and they got slapped around by the Bulls last week.
Yeah, okay, but there's no reason you shouldn't at least, at worst, you should split with the Bulls. I don't care. You should beat the Celtics, who have no interest. I mean, I'm sorry. The Celtics just are. These are professionals, but they're not going to go that hard, Don. They just can't.
No, they can't. Then so there's going to be load management for sure for some of these teams. But explain to me the schedule, honestly.
What, with the Bulls? Like, why they're playing this many times last week?
Now, listen, that'd be great if going into the season you felt like the Bulls and Knicks were on the same level and might be battling for something. How great would that be if the Knicks played the Cavs three times in, like, the last six games?
It's almost a playoff series.
But going into the season, I mean, I don't think anybody had any expectation for the Bulls, and the Knicks played in the second round last year. So why would you have three games in this close proximity? I mean, this is a road trip for the Knicks in which they played two games in Chicago. Make sense of this, Michael. Shouldn't you be playing? You should be loaded up in your division. But Don't you put it together and say, let's have the Knicks play teams that are comparable to them late in the season instead of wedging. This isn't the Michael Jordan Bulls. Yeah, this isn't Knicks Bulls from the early 90s.
I don't even view it that way because I don't know that they view scheduling exactly that way. But it's just a bad job. You just shouldn't be playing this many times down the final stretch with anyone.
Again, I'm not sure. Do you think it has something to do with the in-season tournament? Remember, they played Milwaukee so many times because of that.
True. I wonder.
But I don't know why that would...
Well, they only played so many times, Michael, because they ended up picking up an extra game because of what happened in the in-season tournament. The Bulls were never really involved in that, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob's telling me it could be that the Bucks and Pacers played an obscene amount of times early in the season. So it could be that the in-season tournament just threw things off.
At least they're in the same division.
Michael, I don't know if you've seen this movie on social media, but I just saw a video of a new world heavyweight champion, Damian Priest, at Yankee Stadium meeting Juan Soto. I mean, I'm telling you, when I ask him, he may say that today surpasses him winning the title on Sunday.
But you know what the one thing that Don's going to like?
What's that? Oh, I know. I saw.
Because it shows you he's a real fan.
Oh, no, this ends the conversation about how the kind of guy he is.
Don. He's on the field wearing a number 22 jersey, but he's not insulting your senses. No. It doesn't say Soto on the top
no,
of it.
No,
it
no.
says number 22.
He told me he bought that the second they got him. The second the authentic was available, he ordered the authentic Soto jersey.
And please do not send any kind of vibes out that I ever questioned his Yankee fandom.
Well, no, you didn't. You didn't question that.
I just questioned his love for this show.
Right. But I'm telling you, he loves this show, too. Mm. I promise.
Mm. Sure.
I'm positive. Mm. 100% sure.
I'm not mad at him. That's all right.
He's a K-Show fan. Mm. He is so geeked about doing... He's going to be doing top of the third with you, Michael?
I'm not sure yet.
I believe it's top of the third. He is... I mean, I saw him the night he won the title with his father, and he's still talking to me about the Yankees. I mean, he's one of those. Like, you know those people, Don. These Yankee people
but
are different.
I got to tell you, though, all the respect. Like, he was controlled, though. Like, he was a fan, but he was logical, and he was nice.
No, and he told me afterwards, oh, I didn't do good with you guys. I said, you were great.
Well, you tell him, first of all, it's well, and tell him... He did a phenomenal job.
What did I say? You said, well,
he didn't do good. I was about to say it, and I said, Michael, don't be that guy. I love when Don is that guy.
I wasn't being literal anyway.
I'm not going to jump on Michael. That feels pretty good to do.
You liked it.
I liked it a lot.
But no, he's...
You know what? I think I liked it more that you did it.
He's freaking out, though. He's getting the full batting practice day. So is this, Michael, what they do when someone gets this treatment? They get to come in early, walk the whole grounds, meet all the players.
He took batting practice?
I don't know if he took.
Oh, they got to let him take
But by the way, I know he likes to play. I know that he carries around. He travels with a baseball glove when he's traveling for
the
whole
lot.
A little odd.
He thinks a baseball game is going to break out?
No. Well, he said him and some of the boys who love baseball like to go throw around.
Well, I got to believe, seriously, that there's got to be a lot of downtime for them when they're on the road.
Oh, especially when you have to get to the building at noon and you don't work till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so I wouldn't doubt, Michael.
Go out the parking lot, chuck it around?
I'm sure they got like a soccer ball. If there's an arena, some of these arenas have a rim. You got to do something. Just can't stare in the mirror and prepare for your match all day.
By the way, did you see the post that I put up today of Natalie's pictures?
Yes.
Oh, man. And then she just posted hers, too. Go follow my wife, at Miss Hatton. Her stuff from WrestleMania. She's done a lot of great stuff. She blew me away with what she did this weekend. This was the first time she had actual photo credentials at WrestleMania.
Okay.
So she was on the risers. Actually, just the stuff she posted is... I mean, the final boss may end up hanging one of these in his home. That's what I'm saying.
It's that good.
Oh, seriously. The woman blows my mind.
All right, now just finishing up on the Knicks. If they go 4-0 in the last four games, first of all, they have 50 wins. I'm getting this from Steph Bondi's story in the Post. And that would be their first 50-win season in 11 years. They'd get the second seed if the Bucks go 2-2 or worse, and the Magic go 3-1 or worse. So 4-0, a lot of stuff gets done, and they can't drop into the play-in. Now, if they get the second seed, that might not be great either, guys, because that means that they could have a first-round showdown against the Heat or the Sixers. And the Sixers are a different team now that Joel Embiid's come back. They've won 5 in a row. So that's not an easy. It's almost like what the Knicks did under Van Gundy when they finished eighth after all the injuries. Nobody wanted to play them. One didn't want to play eight because that wasn't an eighth seed. And that would be the case here. So they'd either, if they finish second, they could face Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler or obviously Joel Embiid. So that's what the Knicks have on their plate. And finally, we congratulate the UConn Huskies and Danny Hurley, a friend of the show. They have won two in a row. Last year, they won by an average point differential of 20 per game, which is unbelievable. This year, they bettered it, 23. They won every single game by double digits. In the second half, they were like poised to run away from Purdue. So for the entire tournament, they were plus 140 in point differential. And the thing that I look at and say, well, it's so impressive that they won back-to-back, and it's the first team to do it since the Florida Gators, Billy Donovan's Florida Gators, because the Florida Gators under Billy Donovan, their starting five was the same in both years. With UConn, five of the eight players from last year, the top eight players that got the most time, they're gone. He reconfigured the team. He took bench players that didn't have as much of a role like Klingon last year. This year he's playing, you know, Edie and trying to stop him, and they still were never threatened. If you look at it, the two titles and the 12 games, probably the team that gave them the hardest time might have been Iona under Rick Pitino. Just amazing. It's an amazing team. You can see they build an unbelievable culture. And the guy's doing it, and his son's on the team. He had a great line yesterday. Put his son in with like 45 seconds left in the game. He put the whole bench in. And then when he was interviewed by Ernie Johnson on the podium, Ernie did ask the kid a question, and Danny said, he's going to go in the transfer portal. He doesn't think I gave him enough time. But they're a fun team to watch. Now it's going to be interesting. Who exactly does Kentucky go after with Calipari going to Arkansas? Do they make a run at this guy? A lot of people think it's going to be Scott Drew, the coach at Baylor, who's close with the Kentucky AD. But if you're the Kentucky AD, do you at least have to make a run at Danny Hurley?
Yeah, you got to ask. You got to put in the ask. He's the best coach in the nation, right?
You would think.
You need a coach. Let him tell you no.
Do you think they investigate with Pitino? You know, I was reading a story today, and they said, well, Pitino isn't even an option because he said that St. John's is going to be his last job. I recall on our show last year, Rick also said Iona is the last place he's ever going to coach. So just because he said St. John's is the last place he's ever going to coach, if Kentucky came calling where he was a god and the parting was very nice because he took a great job offered by the Celtics, if they can't get Drew and Danny has no interest in going to Kentucky, would you at least place a call, Rick Pitino?
Well, why wouldn't you? Well, based on something he said that at least was inconsistent? And yeah, you put the call in, have him say no to you.
Because Rick Pitino loves living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But would that be like a pull? I mean, does he have a better chance of winning a national title with Kentucky or with St. John's?
Well, with Kentucky.
Yeah. Here's what the cut sounded like on our program when Rick talked about the possibility of coaching elsewhere.
The last game I'll coach will be at Iona College.
Mm.
Now, maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe that's the last game he's ever going to coach. Maybe St. John's schedules them at the last game he ever coaches.
Oh, you know what?
Just to tell the truth. Just to stick it to
us. The last game I'll coach will be at Iona College.
Yep, see? Semantics. They're important. Now, really quick, Miss Hatton, Peter did not mention, one of her gorgeous pictures was a nice profile of Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat, you tweeted it out, and Pat said, this is dope. Thank you, Mrs. Peter.
That's right.
That's very nice.
He said Mrs. Peter?
Yeah. Mrs. Peter. Yeah.
You think that's a shot of...
No, it's an odd thing to call a woman, but...
or a woman.
sports TV ratings on X.
Yes.
Say their sources say that TBS got a $14.8 million people viewing for the UConn game. That's across TBS, TNT, and True TV. And then Iowa, South Carolina, 18.9. UConn's a pretty sexy story, but I don't think there's a bigger player in college basketball than Caitlin Clark.
When you're talking about
there's
those
not,
numbers,
not even close.
You're talking about something transcending. And listen, would the numbers have been better last night if it was on CBS? Would the numbers
right,
have
the
been
women's
better?
Women's game was on ABC.
Right, and you know what? But would the women's final number have been better if it had been at 8 o'clock instead of 3? You can make that case, too, because 3 o'clock, that seems convenient, but, you know, it's still a Sunday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a great point.
You know, it's not exactly prime time, so, listen, people are invested in this. College basketball in general is big, but right now, the story with Caitlin Clark.
It's a thing, it's a happening. Like, there is a, we have no idea how this is going to play out. And maybe she ends up being, for lack of a better word, and I know it's totally different, but in terms of how big the story is, maybe it ends up being Linsanity, right? And it fades. Even though, obviously, she's been way more consistent and she's on a whole different level. But for lack of a better comparison. Or maybe this is the beginning of when we first heard about Tiger Woods in 1996, 97.
Well, I don't think she's going to fade, Peter. I'm just wondering if the NCAA women's game fades.
Well, it won't just be... for me, it's a two-part thing. It's what will happen with the NCAA women's game, but what will happen with the WNBA. That's on the table, too.
I think she's got enough game, don't you?
Me, too, but will it remain a story? Will she be so good and so transcendent that she... All of a sudden, because I was told that Barclays Center for the Liberty is already sold out next year. Will it become one of those deals where wherever Indiana plays, she sells out because she's that player?
Well, you see, will it be Tiger Woods or, you know, will it be Michael Phelps? Like, I don't know. Like, is she just so big that it wasn't even really about the basketball? Because I heard, you know, Barton Hahn talking about, and you've even brought it up, Michael, too, that the quality of the game, it's not just all... They play defense. There's a lot. It's a prettier game. I think aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
It really is.
Than the men's game right now. But is it that? Are we getting too sportsy, or is that she just became kind of like what Michael Phelps came for swimming in the Olympics? And is it going to fade just because now it's not a thing anymore?
But you know what, Don? It's the chicken and the egg conundrum. I think people were drawn to the games because of her. And then they realize that the women in college sport, maybe in the WNBA, are playing the game that we fell in love with in the NBA that doesn't exist anymore. I think that's what happened. She's a compelling figure. Yeah. She's breaking records. She's very well spoken. She's taken every commercial that she can get. Good for her. But then you watch and you see the court vision she has and the amazing passes that she makes. And it's not just her. Everybody in the game is like that. I hope that it's a turning point for women's sports, where it does translate to the WNBA, and that women's college basketball continues to be something that people want to watch. It's good. It's good for sports. It really is. You know what else is? I don't know if it's good. That's debatable. But anything you like in sports now, you could bet on. And Peter, I know you could bet on sports with FanDuel, right?
Yeah, that was a bit of a clumsy transition, but here we
are. What are you going to do? You know, can't be great all the time.
Dingers, blasts, moonshots, whatever you call them, everyone loves the home run. And with FanDuel's Dinger Tuesdays, you can love them even more. That's right, Dinger Tuesdays are back for another season on America's number one sportsbook. Just bet on a player to hit a home run, and FanDuel will give you $5 in bonus bets for every home run hit during that game. As if you needed another reason to love the long ball, visit FanDuel.com/Peter to get in all the Dinger Tuesday action. That's FanDuel.com/Peter. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY at 467-369. 21 and over and physically present in New York. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus, $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, my son's not going to like this, Don. The Devils announced that Jack Hughes, done for the season, will undergo shoulder surgery April 10th. Expected to make a full recovery, be available for 2024 camp.
Yeah, they're playing out the string, so might as well get it now rather than mess around. Good player, but he's been a bit injury prone, Michael. Shoulder's been a problem for him. So hopefully he gets healthy because he's a really, really, really good player.
1-800-919-3776. Remember, tomorrow is a Would You Wednesday, so
that's
always highly anticipated.
That's nice. We did a decent job last week without you.
I think you've done it 2 weeks in a row.
I don't like games. It. It's not my preference.
Who asked the questions?
We got them from the audience.
Oh, were they good?
No.
Were the answers good?
No, I thought we didn't. Was it last week or the week before that they did a pretty decent job?
Well, send them now. I mean, we'll take some of your questions as well. I'll come up with some devious ones, but...
You always do.
3:45, that's the time. Let's go to Dove at the stadium.
Oh, hey, Dove. Is this Dove from Passaic who just happens to be at the stadium?
That's right.
All right.
Yes, that's me, Dove from Passaic, and I'm so excited. It's my first game of the year, and I'm really happy the Yankees are 9-2. And I think the Yankees are showing a great defense put together, and I think that their pitching is going to hold together, and maybe this will be the year. You know, like I'm buying what they're selling.
I love it. Somebody, a satisfied customer, isn't that nice? I love it. Thank you for the phone call, Dove. I'm having trouble right now with my call screener because I could not call up the. I'm going to try it again.
Well, Peter can handle it.
I got you. What do you want?
Yeah, but I don't trust Peter to do it.
Just tell me what you want. You want some...
Yeah, but now I must have lost everything. I don't even have the calls anymore.
Well, while you're trying to figure it out, Anthony DeComo tweeted out that J.D. Martinez is now dealing with a lower back issue.
Oh, no!
Some tightness. He's going to be sidelined for the next 3 to 5 days.
That's tough.
Another week without... I'm going to tell you, it's not gone well.
For old DJ?
No, for these guys that all waited late. Because did you see Snell last night in San Francisco? Not good.
Well, who was the big-headed freak that predicted this?
You were. And did you hear the glee? Michael, you sounded like you celebrated.
No, I'm not celebrating anybody's injury. I'm celebrating being right.
Yeah, that's
Don knows. I love being right.
I could sense that. Listen, that was not a Yankee boy thing. That was a Michael boy thing.
Oh, that was him celebrating
himself.
He wanted
to be right. Yeah.
Why can't people just believe me when I say things?
Never forget this.
All right, I've got control of the screen again.
I was trying to.
You were trying to make a point?
Yeah, here you go. Listen, everyone be quiet on the set.
Number 10, DJ Martinez.
I think it's JD.
Sorry, I got a little dyslexic there.
Wow.
A moment in time that we'll never forget.
Who hit the home run yesterday for the Mets, Don?
It was a DJ, not a JD. We're getting over it, Michael. We fought through it. It happened. It was a moment.
You know, because I left for the game because it started at 6, by the way, 2-hour and 1-minute game.
Yeah, that was the fastest since 92.
Oh, unbelievable.
A game you might have called, Michael.
Yeah, I definitely called it. I called every game on the radio then. Peter, how big was the distance between Don's drop and our good friend Griff?
How long was the distance?
How big was, I mean, how
big was the gap?
Blowout?
Oh, I mean, it was, let me think of a good description, a good comp here. It wasn't, let me put it this way. If it had been an earlier round at halftime, you're not going back to the game. We're out of here.
And I want to throw this out. Larry and Gordon do a great job.
Oh, Lago.
At night. And they've
Lag
had
War, I think.
A Goat Madness tournament. And we're to the Elite Eight. And voting, you could still do. You got 4 hours left to vote. The one seed, Tony Soprano, going up against Michael Jordan. Jordan's up big, 66.9%.
Oh, that's a tough day for Soprano.
Tom Brady, the one seed, versus Frank Sinatra, the 15 seed. Tom Brady's up 54.2%.
Sinatra's a 15th seed? Wow.
Four seed, Tiger Woods, versus the two seed, Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali's up 64.3%. And Don LaGreca, the sixth seed, versus Wayne Gretzky, the one.
Well, that's a lot of irony.
And Don LaGreca is up 55.9. I've got a chance at the Final Four of Goat Madness.
Now, Don,
to beat Wayne
let's
Gretzky.
Let's be honest here. Are you embarrassed that you're leading Wayne Gretzky?
You should be. Because
you should recuse yourself.
I say this with all due respect, and I'm only because I'm talking about Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
There is nothing about anything that you do that resembles Wayne Gretzky. And that's true of all of us.
Or Tiger Woods or Muhammad Ali or Tom Brady or any of that. Listen, I should not be in this tournament.
But Gretzky's different.
However, I am in the tournament, and people seem to enjoy my work.
But the fact that you revere hockey.
He should bow out, Michael.
You should bow out because what you're doing is you're making a mockery of hockey.
But again, nobody's saying Don LaGreca, the
person. We call it a mockery.
They're talking about my rants. And what's more relevant in this day and age, my rants or Wayne Gretzky, who has not had a point since 1999?
So cocky.
How about that?
So cocky.
It's not cocky.
That is unreal. Now, I was
why can't I defend
he just
myself?
Said, Peter, let that sink in.
Yeah.
My rants are Wayne Gretzky.
No,
that's
no,
what he
I know.
Said.
And he said,
I
and he said,
that.
And he said, he's said more relevant than Gretzky.
Now, at this radio station.
Now, how about this, Michael?
Why can't listen? I got nothing. All right. Well, you know, all I listen. It's not nothing because it's a paycheck every 2 weeks. That's all I got. I mean, really, when the dust settles, from a document standpoint, I didn't work here.
What is that?
Peter,
mean?
The same thing. They're going to look through it. I was like, all right, there was a
show.
Guy, Michael K. There was a Bart guy and a Han guy.
Yeah, we don't know what
there
else
there was
happened.
A Larry and a Gordon. There was a Dan Grasso.
We were nothing. We didn't even
there
exist.
There was a DiPietro and Rothenberg. I guess those were the people that worked here.
Yeah, at least, you know what, Don's a good point. He's won me over to his side. Now, Anthony just informed me that I was in the GOAT tournament as well.
Oh, really?
Do you know that my... now, this is... According to Anthony, my better help reads were a 16 seed in the GOAT tournament.
That's a GOAT read? That's a
that's
GOAT?
That's not nothing, man.
Greatest
that's...
of all time read. That's you should be
but
proud of.
But did he win that matchup?
He did not.
Who beat me?
I'll have to go back and look at the bracket.
That's got to be a tough matchup for me. But
now,
I appreciate it.
I'm
going to
tell you another thing,
it.
Peter. It's going to hurt your feelings because you know I'm a big fan of your better help reads.
All right.
But... Adam Schefter does some real dandy better help reads.
He does.
He can't hold Peter.
No, I don't know.
Can't do it.
I love the Scheft, but is he beating me in the better help? Come on, Michael.
I shouldn't say this, but what the hell? He read it like he had no idea what he was reading.
Oh, that's not true.
Peter's reading it because he cares.
That's not true. Have you heard him read it? Or are you just making it up?
I hear it all the time. As a matter of fact, I think it's disrespectful that it airs on our show.
during my time slot.
Yes. Put in promo code Freddie. Well, why Freddie Coleman? Was he here? Do I see him?
That's Don's trying to bring about the end of this radio station quicker than he predicts.
Peter, this doesn't help Don's Gretzky versus Don thing.
All right.
You lost to Jay-Z, and I think you'll take that.
Yeah, I will. I'll take it.
But the competition wasn't Peter Rosenberg, period. It was Peter Rosenberg's right. Better help reads.
And although I might argue that my better help reads are, I could argue, are better to reads.
Yes, it's one
than Jay-Z
reads.
Than Jay-Z is to music.
And you know, and you two are so cocky.
I know. I mean, listen, I could argue.
And the other thing too, I'm going to say this because I'm on a roll. The most overrated thing, people will go, oh, nobody reads, nobody does a live read like Max Kellerman. Nobody. Oh, Howard Stern, nobody does a live read. If you're given 20 minutes to do a read, anybody can sound like God. He's sounding like God in the time frame.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, he can go on for 5 minutes and go, oh, well, it was one heck of a read, and the sponsor goes nuts. He keeps it to the 30 or the 60 seconds that's allotted.
I try.
That makes it a gift.
Thank you.
I really, really
and
appreciate
it's acknowledged.
Let's go to the guy who lost to Don yesterday, Griffin.
Oh, boy.
Griffin.
Hi,
Griff.
You know what? I was looking at the GOAT madness. You know, to get to the Elite Eight, he'd have to beat Michael Jackson.
That's true. I beat Madonna, Michael Jackson.
Wait, who did I beat?
Oh, point guard for our guy Griffin.
All right, my first matchup was Madonna. Then I beat Joey Chestnut.
Well, that you should.
And I beat Michael Jackson, and now I'm beating Wayne Gretzky, and then I don't know who I'm going to face at that point.
Let that sink in, Peter. He beat Michael Jackson.
Again, relevancy.
No.
Right, I mean, I could have ranted any second.
No, that's not, no.
Unfortunately, we lost catalog, Michael way too young in age.
I know, but his catalog is still relevant.
No, I don't. Right,
have you ever sat in a cab? I mean, you will hear Billie Jean every 3 days.
Right, but at any moment.
The rant could happen.
The rant could happen. Because it was Don LaGreca's rants, by the way.
Yes, get to your point, Griffin.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
I've been hearing a lot over this weekend and a lot for a while. I don't understand. I understand he's off to a great start, Anthony Volpe. But a lot of the fans are craving that they need to put him in the leadoff spot right now. And I just feel like, why put something on him? Right? I feel like he's perfect where he's at right now. I feel like everything is going well with the lineup. Why change things in the lineup unless it's not working? Last year, Boone changed a lot in the lineup because things were not working. This year, things are working. So right now, with things working, I don't think we should change much in the lineup. I want to know what you think, Michael.
Griffin, I right now sit here and say I could not agree with you more.
Wow!
I laugh.
I told you.
People, you got to move Volpe to lead off. They're 9-2. Why would you make any changes? And when DJ LeMahieu comes back, he's going to hit leadoff. And the fact that he's doing damage with his 400-plus batting average, and he scored 10 runs, let him stay in the middle of the lineup where he could actually drive in more runs. Why would you make a change that you don't need to make? I think he could handle it. But if he's hitting .417 and leading the American League in hitting, why would you ever change? It makes no sense. People are out of their mind, Griff. Not you. Not you, Griffy.
That was a great point. But people got a mess. Why they got a mess?
They always like the mess. People like the mess.
Got to get the fat hands.
So what would be bigger, Peter? Don beating Michael Jackson, which has already happened, or beating Wayne Gretzky?
Well, the Gretzky...
Because Wayne Gretzky's the greatest hockey player ever lived. You can't say Michael Jackson was the greatest entertainer. He's in the top 10.
Well, you can say it, but it's always going to be subjective.
Right.
Whereas Gretzky, there's no subjectivity. He is the greatest with a bullet, and it's Don's sport. So that's probably the crazier one, but I think Michael Jackson sounds funnier because he's like the standard of talent. So just being like, well, Don's going to blow right past Michael Jackson. I mean, the guy at 9 years old was all of America was sitting there going, oh my, we've never seen a child like this. He's a prodigy, and Don's just blowing right by him. It's unreal.
And you know what makes me feel the most uncomfortable, Peter?
What's that?
Don's comfortable.
Yeah, he loves it.
He's comfortable with beating Jackson, and he's comfortable with actually beating Gretzky. Rather than bowing out and say, out of respect to the sport I love, I should not be against him.
Mikey.
I have an update here, by the way. Apparently, I'm told Jay-Z barely eked out a victory over my BetterHelp reads.
3%.
By 3%, I lost to Jay-Z.
Well, Graphic Joker tweeted, I got 99 problems, but BetterHelp ain't one.
Wow.
You know what, Graphic Joker? I don't know if that's good or terrible.
Well, I talk for a living, guys, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey, this delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Now, the last time any team repeated was Florida. But if you look at Florida, Billy Donovan's team, all five starters returned. All five. They could have gone to the NBA draft. They didn't. All five starters returned. This UConn team lost five of the top eight players on the team to graduation or the NBA. So this is a completely different group, and they averaged 23 points of victory in the six games. This guy's a great coach. His system works. He's built a culture there. It's unbelievable. And they dared Purdue, the other players, to hit three-pointers, and they couldn't do it. And it was a close game for a while, but UConn's just too deep and too good and too smart and too well-coached, and they annihilated them. Well, I'm proud of that. I'm sure Don and Peter have a problem with it, but I'm proud of it.
You should be proud.
It was a good take.
I'm not writing home about it, but yeah, sure.
What a jerk.
Wow.
Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. Richard.
Fellas, you know, it's funny. The Angels are only 3 years younger than the Dodgers in L.A. 3 years, they can look at the difference in popularity. Uh-huh. I got three quick questions, one for each of you. Peter, I'll do you first.
Okay.
Jay Wright. Do you put those three, or would you take the field, 50-50 bet, for the next Kentucky coach?
Patino, Hurley, Jay Wright,
or somebody, not those three.
I think Patino's very unlikely. I kind of can't see it with Jay Wright either. I think I take the field.
Okay, gotcha.
I agree.
Don, this is for you.
Yes.
The Rangers have the most points in the NHL.
Yes.
They have the most wins in the NHL. Yet, they are seventh in goal scoring. Six teams have more goals than them. And they're sixth in goals against. Five teams have less goals than them. How do you explain that?
That's a good question. How do you explain? They're second in the league in comebacks. I think that's probably the stat that I'd throw back at you. Only Colorado's had more come from behind victories.
All right, Michael, this is for you, and you're going to battle me with this, but we'll go. Yesterday's an extreme. Yanks are winning 7-0. Let's say the relief pitcher came in the ninth, gave up seven runs. The game is tied. They go to the bottom of the ninth. The Yanks win it. One, Cortez doesn't get the win. Two, the relief pitcher who gave up seven runs in the top of the ninth gets the win. Now, it doesn't have to be a 7-0 game. It could have been a 1-0 game or a 4-0 game. Still applies. Shouldn't we leave this up to the discretion of the scorer, the official scorer, to give the win to Cortez if the Yankees win it in the bottom of the ninth?
Well,
you're making sense,
but I don't have a problem with that because it goes back to forever, and I kind of like that. You know, if you really want to get the win, then get the last three outs as well and keep your pitch count down. And Cortez pitched beautifully. And also, the guy who gave up seven runs wouldn't be in there at the end of the seven runs anyway. But you're saying even if it's 1-0, if Cortez doesn't pitch the ninth and then Clay Holmes comes in and gives it up and then the Yankees score on the bottom, why should he get the win? Because it has always been like that. I have a problem with the sport now keeping it at 5 innings because they don't allow pitchers to go that far. So it should be changed. One thing, though, if I'm Kentucky, one of the things that I would do is I would – here's a blank check, Jay. Tell me what you want. Now, he said he doesn't want any part of coaching, and he got out when the getting was good because the NIL stuff, it's brutal. Brutal. That's why he got out of Villanova. But the bottom line is I'd give him a blank check because he's that good. He's that good. But I don't think it's going to happen. Let's go to Jack in Woodbridge. Jack.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Hope all is well.
Yes.
Always tough to follow Big Dick, but I'll do my best.
It's right. very, very tough.
Difficult thing to follow.
So, Michael, Peter, Dom, any thoughts on the new uniforms this year in baseball? I know Fanatics was kind of getting crushed on the quality of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you noticed, like, with the Yankees, especially at the road uniforms, a guy like Rodon, by the third inning, it's like he's covered in sweat. He's sweating through the thing on the field, and it looks terrible and really unpleasant to look at. So, Michael, have you heard any feedback on the uniforms this year?
Well, it is they're very thin, and you're being kind, Jack. He sweats through it by the first pitch, just by warming up. I think the Yankee uniform is the least affected, other than the fact that it's thin, because it doesn't show up on the pinstripe, the sweat. It does show up on the gray uniform, but they don't have those tiny little names on the back. That's what I don't get.
Yeah, the tiny names really bother me, but the sweat thing, they said that they're going to try to look into and see if they can't correct it.
But they want it more breathable, so it's thin probably. That's why you see the sweat.
It just did. My mess.
Hey, we have to say goodbye to Yes, unfortunately.
Well, I won't say goodbye.
We are going to say goodbye. If you want to hear ENN, you've got to turn to the radio or go to the app, whatever the case may be. So goodbye to Yes. But we still have a couple of moments to take up more phone calls. Let's go to James in Pennsylvania.
Mike, Don, Peter, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, excellent. Well, I've been playing basketball with Danny since we were youth, so... I was surprised that he actually got into coaching, but once I started to see what he was doing at St. Benedict's, then Rhode Island, Wagner, all these places, I was like, and I know, you know his father, Tree, you know who his father is, so I was like, you know what, we got something special here, and I knew that he could build something really special because he's one of the smartest person that I know with basketball, anything strategic basketball wise, he's right on it.
No, he comes from a great line of basketball with his brother and his dad. And you know, if we have him on sometime this week, I have a question to ask him, and I'll throw the question to you and Don, Peter. If you're Danny Hurley and you had a choice between winning a national championship as a player or the two as a coach, what would you take?
It depends on what he thinks of himself as. If he's the eternal player, he's going to say win a national championship as a player. And I think that's what he always aspired to be. Now, because his dad was a coach, I don't know if that's something that he always wanted to be, Michael, but I would think you can't get rid of the player in you. I would think it would be as a player.
Yeah, because his brother is not as successful as a coach. He's okay, but he hasn't come close to winning a national title. He has two as a player. So at Thanksgiving dinner, who's got his chest puffed out more? Bobby Jr. or Danny?
But then you look at it the other way. He's a lot more responsible, right? He's the coach.
Yeah.
Well, and he's got to recruit these players. You know, so, yeah, but not to the point of a coach and you're having to recruit. And as you said, players leaving and being able to win back-to-back with different players.
All right, Anthony, you have to get Danny on it sometime this week.
Well, he's trying, man.
Just get him. He loves us.
Do it.
Loves us for years.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.